Heidi Harris. Welcome back to the Heidi Harris Show podcast. I do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can subscribe at iTunes. You can check them out at HeidiHarris.com. And I talk about things that matter, and I occasionally have guests on who are actually making a difference or experts in their field. Well, you may be aware now that somebody has been charged in relation to the October 1st shooting. That's the October 1st massacre here in Las Vegas. A man by the name of Douglas Haig, who apparently was an ammunition dealer in Arizona. According to his attorney, he did it part-time, but still, now he's been charged because apparently he was selling armor-piercing ammo across state lines and without a license. I'm not an expert on gun laws or ammo, so I called in an expert. Don Turner from the Nevada Firearms Coalition is here with a little clarity on this issue. Don Turner, boy, this is interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Heidi. You know, I guess they've got to look under every rock they can to do something about this mess.
So let me get this straight. Mr. Haig's fingerprints were found, according to some reports, on some of the unfired rounds at the crime scene. And so that just means that Paddock bought these things from Haig. It doesn't necessarily mean that anything that Paddock used was sold to him by Haig, correct?
The whole problem is armor-piercing ammo. It's against the law to manufacture or ship for a business armor-piercing ammunition. And apparently the two rounds that he had his fingerprints on were armor-piercing ammo. And when the feds went to interview him, they also got permission to inspect his reloading room. He reloaded as a hobby and he reloaded as a business. So he manufactured ammo in his house. And from what I read, he would sell it, go to gun stores and sell it, shooting events and sell it. And apparently somewhere along the line, he ran across Stephen Paddock and he sold him ammo. And according to the reports, at one time, Paddock came to his house in Arizona and bought some ammo from him. So what they charged him with was manufacture and sell armor-piercing ammo without a license, which is a violation of federal law.
Interesting. Now, talk to me about this armor-piercing ammunition. This is designed to go through bulletproof vests, or when they say armor, they're not talking about suits of armor. What are they talking about?
They're talking about tanks, armored personnel carriers, airplanes. It's a military round that's really, really hard, and it's designed to pierce what you would consider armor, which is like a tank. Of course, they don't do that now, but they did. Armored personnel carriers, any kind of steel, they're designed to penetrate. It's a military round. There's a lot of different kinds. When I say round, I'm talking about the bullet itself. But there's a lot of different kinds of bullets that are manufactured. You know, we've talked before about hollow points. So they're designed to open up on impact, you know, if you have to shoot somebody to stop them or something like that, they're designed to do maximum force. The military rounds are not designed to open up. Actually, military regular ammunition is designed to wound more than kill. So the Geneva Convention says that hollow point bullets are illegal for military use under the Geneva Convention. So the military manufactures these specific rounds, and one is armor-piercing and very, very hard bullets. They'll go through steel. And then you have tracer rounds, which are a regular bullet that has some kind of chemical in the back of it that burns. So when the shooter shoots it, you see a tracer. And if you've ever seen any war movies, you see these lines going through the air. And when they load the machine guns, they put like one tracer round for every 5 to 10 bullets so that the person shooting the gun can see where the bullets are impacting.
Oh, I see.
And then they have incendiary rounds that are designed to start fires when they hit.
Wow.
And then, of course, you have, that's just the military applications. And civilian stuff, you have hollow points and you have round nose and soft nose and just solid lead, depending on what the uses are for. So most shooting ranges prohibit tracer ammunition because they start fires, and they prohibit armor-piercing ammo because they destroy the target. U.S. Code 922 says specifically that you may not be in the business of manufacturing armor-piercing ammo without a federal firearms license, and you may not receive, import, export, or ship across state lines armor-piercing ammo without a federal permit. And then the penalty for that is a fine and up to 5 years in jail.
Interesting. So Mr. Haig could potentially face jail time. Let me back up a little bit about the armor piercing. There are reports that he, and of course in the police report it also said this, that he had tried to shoot at fuel tanks that were located near the concert venue. So if he'd had some armor piercing ammo, then theoretically, if he'd been able to hit his target, he could have caused much more carnage than he did.
Airplane fuel is extremely hard to ignite. It's like diesel fuel. And if he wasn't using the incendiary rounds, if he was just using straight armor piercing, it would just punch a hole.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't know that because I know a lot of people were very concerned about that. So apparently Mr. Haig's fingerprints had been found on some of these unfired high-caliber rounds. And, of course, we don't know all the facts at this point, what's happened. But that's pretty conclusive, I would think, right?
Well, you know, when you manufacture ammo, you have machines that manufacture it. And apparently there were tool marks on some of the ammo in the room. I wasn't sure if it was the tool they found the fingerprints on, but they had tool marks that matched Mr. Haig's tool machine in his reloading area. So they didn't have just fingerprints. They actually had more forensic evidence that some of those bullets had came. Now, my question is what is constitute manufacturing? Because a lot of people take military bullets and they take them apart and they put in new powder, they'll put a new bullet in the cartridge. It seems to me that what Haig's big problem is he made bullets or he manufactured cartridges and then he sold them. So once he went into business, then, and he was dealing with armor points, armor piercing ammo and then crossing state lines, that's when he ran afoul of the law.
Oh, that's, and also when you cross state lines, that becomes a federal issue, or just manufacturing these becomes a federal issue?
It says manufacture and or cross state lines for sale.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know, this guy's got to be a little bit nervous. Now, his attorney tried to say that he barely had only met Stephen Paddock briefly and that he only manufactured ammo kind of as a hobby.
Right. But the thing is, they're not charging him for selling ammo to Paddock. They're charging him for manufacturing armor-piercing ammo and selling armor-piercing ammo across state lines without a license. That's what they're charging him with.
Interesting.
And there's also a charge in there for conspiracy. So if he had people in his shop that was working for him and stuff, then they would be implicated too.
We're speaking with Don Turner from the Nevada Firearms Coalition about Douglas Haig, the man from Arizona who's now been charged in connection with the October 1st shooting, not because he was connected with it, but because he supplied some of the ammo for it. You know, what's interesting to me, Don, is you know they're going to make an example out of Douglas Haig. They're going to throw everything at him as if he were personally responsible for what happened October 1st.
He's the only living thing they've got their hands on.
Right. There are people who do this, correct, who have licenses to sell these kinds of ammunition?
Correct. They are. And there, you know, there's a lot of military surplus that's sold, and there's a lot of ammo that's sold all over the place. And you know, your licensing only has to be, if you're in the ammo business, your licensing really needs just to be your state business license because it's just a commodity like anything else. The only one exception is armor-piercing ammo, and they make that exception in the federal law that armor-piercing ammo is held to a higher threat standard or whatever it is and all the other kinds of ammunition.
Interesting. Now, you did mention that these kind of things are not allowed at shooting ranges for various reasons. Why would somebody want armor-piercing ammo who wasn't in the military? Would a person want them strictly for nefarious reasons? Because you're not going to hunt with these kind of things, are you?
No, they're not really much good for anything, but some people like to have a couple around, you know, just to have them. Maybe shoot them, see how they perform. I've known guys that have actually taken steel out and shot them just to see what kind of holes they'll make, you know, but there's no sporting purpose for it.
So since this ammo is strictly for military applications, why is it the civilians can ever get their hands on this at all? I mean, I realize you can't keep everything out of people's hands, but why is it legally ever sold to civilians?
Well, for one reason, it's not illegal. And, of course, that's a reason for another discussion. But a lot of it is just military surplus, and they sell it, and then it trickles down into the consumer chain. You know, I've in all my years of shooting, I've only seen one or two rounds of armor-piercing ammo.
Interesting.
Most people I know don't have a need for it. I can't even think of any kind of examples in the civilian world you'd need it, but It's not illegal to have. And in Nevada, I do want to make a distinction. And there are two types of, you know, you have handgun ammunition and you have rifle ammunition. The federal law says armor-piercing ammo, period. But in Nevada, it's against state law to have a handgun that contains armor-piercing ammunition. It's a very serious law in Nevada.
It'll be interesting to see, too, as a result of this Douglas Haig situation, how many other people on the Internet who are selling ammo have the feds cracked down on them now.
Well, what our concern is with the Firearms Coalition, of course, is that every time there's somebody that gets in trouble with the gun law, the gun control grabbing ghouls run out their emotional peels and try to ratchet up another gun law, you know. So I can see that this Haig thing is going to result in probably some laws at the legislature on the national level trying to, for instance, they've already wanted to ban mail order ammunition. A lot of hunters will buy their ammo from, you know, a company like Cabela's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, if you're going to go goose hunting in North Dakota, you can go to the Cabela's and buy the ammo, and they'll ship it to wherever you're going in North Dakota, so you don't have to carry ammo on an airplane.
Nice.
You know, But the thing is, I can see the anti-gunners going, oh, we can't have mail order ammunition now. You know, that just any kind of thing to make it more difficult to shoot.
I watched that press conference that Douglas Haig and his attorney put on, and I was pretty surprised at how much information they were putting out there that could potentially be used to prosecute him.
I listened to his conference, and I can't believe that somebody who's manufactured ammo as a hobby for so many years was that ignorant about the federal laws on ammo manufacturing. But the way he was chatting away, it was almost like, hey, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. And then the feds say, guess what? Armor-piercing ammo, gotcha. There's a reason the first Miranda warning says you have the right to remain silent. And I heard a joke, some guy got arrested. He said, I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the intelligence to do so.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I want to mention one other thing that might show up. Our friends Sisolak and Bob Coffin the other day made this stupid comment that they wanted to pass a bump stock law, but they couldn't do it because of preemption. And they tried to blame the 2015 preemption, but actually preemption has been in Nevada since 1989. So I don't think they were stupid. I think they were trying to gin up support to go to local gun laws, and I think this ammo thing is going to play into that.
Interesting. Now, explain for those who do not understand what they mean by preemption.
Well, we have a state, and what preemption means is that a state law applies equally throughout the whole state. And on firearms, that means only the state legislature can make gun laws, because prior to 1989, every county, every city, every town had different gun laws. And that's true in some states. You can't drive across the street without, you know, getting arrested by some other municipality or something. So in fairness to the citizens, the state said, we have one law across the whole state, and that's basically the same for automobiles. You know, you don't have to worry about going to North Las Vegas and finding out you're only supposed to drive on the left side of the road or something like that.
What happened with that controversy a couple of years ago about North Las Vegas and people having guns in their cars?
Yeah, what happened was in 1989, they said that any towns or municipalities that had laws in effect could remain in effect. So basically, North Las Vegas said it was illegal to carry a loaded gun in a vehicle. So that meant even people that had a concealed carry permit, if their gun was loaded, the cops could seize their gun and arrest them. So when we got the real state preemption law passed in 2015, we eliminated all that stuff.
That's great. So now when Sisolak's talking about preemption and gun stocks, exactly what is he saying?
He's saying he wants to have the power to regulate firearms. He doesn't think it should stay with the state.
Interesting. Now, for those who don't know, we're talking about Steve Sisolak, currently a county commissioner running for governor. And what's scary, Don, is if he becomes governor, you know he's either going to have a Democrat legislature or a compliant, wussy Republican legislature to go after our gun rights yet again and probably make his mark, especially in light of the October 1st shooting.
Well, and what's either scary is they're not restricting themselves to gun laws. They want ultimate power, and they want ultimate control, and that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and listen, we all, as legitimate legal gun owners, want people like Stephen Paddock to be stopped. We want to prevent the next one. I just don't know how you do it when you've got a normal guy. Everybody knew in the casinos, you know, that he was a high roller. They knew him. They knew his name and everything else. And they just didn't suspect him, especially when he's bringing up the luggage for something like a week. He brought up it a little at a time.
Right.
And so it just makes it for a very tough situation, and trying to prevent the next one's what we need to be focused on, not guns.
It does, and when you really think about it, we've been discussing this moral dilemma in the human population ever since Cain hit Abel over the head with a rock.
Yep, absolutely.
You know? And it's just and that's the thing about freedom, is people don't get punished until they do something. You just can't think somebody's going to do something wrong. That's not a place we want to live either.
Right, and what's to stop somebody from hurling a Molotov cocktail into a group of people off of a balcony in one of these hotels? I mean, there's nothing to stop them if they're evil.
That's right, or doing anything else that you can imagine.
Yeah.
If they're evil.
It's terrible. Yeah. Listen, if Douglas Haig broke the law, he should be punished for that. Obviously, we don't want people breaking laws, but ultimately, I think Stephen Paddock, if he couldn't have gotten the ammo from Mr. Haig, he would have gotten the ammo from someplace else, and he still would have killed all those people regardless.
Well, he would have, and I really don't know how much significant that armor-piercing ammo was that he had, you know what I mean, as far as what went on. But the fact was that Mr. Haig got involved, and Mr. Haig was violating federal law, and regardless of what his impact was on what Paddock did, Mr. Haig's going to pay.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he's the only live one they've got at this point. Let's talk about the Annie Oakley program you've got going out there. You're getting a huge response to that out there at the range. Talk about it.
Oh, it's amazing. We started it in April. We have it every Tuesday night. Ladies show up at 6 o'clock. They get a one-hour class, and then they go on the range and they shoot for an hour, and then they can come back every Tuesday after that and shoot. And we let them use our guns, and we give them 125 rounds of ammo, and they get a safety booklet and a gun lock, and we have women coaches, women instructors, and women safety officers. And when we first started, we were getting 300-400 at a time. Now we're down to 20 or 30. But all total, since we started in April, we've trained 1,359 ladies in safe gun handling.
That is fantastic.
That's an outstanding program anywhere in the United States. I went to an NRA board meeting and told them about it. And to be honest with you, I don't think they believed me. I think they thought I was, like, you know, maybe exaggerating a bunch. So I wrote up all my stats and sent them to the NRA headquarters. And we got another cool thing going on, too. Next summer, we're going to do a summer camp for 80 kids.
Wow.
We got it all put together, and we're just doing some fundraising now. But in 1 week, they're going to get wildlife conservation, rifle, pistol, shotgun, and archery safety and shooting.
That'll be fantastic. Just the other day, as you know, there was that little girl who brought the gun to school in L.A., and apparently the gun went off. She thought it was fake. And I just thought, you know, gun training, parents, take your kids to a range, get some training if you're going to have guns around the house. Everything that happened in that classroom was because these kids didn't know how to handle guns.
Exactly, and that's one of our focuses on the Annie Oakley program, is I would say half the ladies that show up have never handled a gun before.
Wow.
So they get firearm safety and trained on how to keep them locked up in the home, how to keep them away from kids. So, you know, like let's say you don't own a swimming pool, but you're going to teach your kids to swim because your neighbors do. And it's the same point we tell people that don't own guns. You need to know gun safety because your kids are going to go somewhere and they're going to be exposed, and it's your duty as a parent to teach your kids to be safe.
That's right, and they're going to be curious, and they're going to mishandle it, which is what happened in L.A., and you've got a mess on your hands.
Yep.
And I agree. I would add one thing to the pools and the guns: dogs. Even if you don't have dogs, you need to teach your kids how to act around them.
That's true.
Pools, dogs, and guns. Don Turner, how can people find out about the Annie Oakley program? What's the website?
Actually, we have a Facebook page just for Annie Oakley. They just go on Facebook and put NVFAC Annie Oakley, and they'll go right to it. We have over 500 ladies visiting the page daily now.
That's fantastic. That's NVFAC. That's Nevada Firearms Coalition. Check it out on Facebook. Don Turner, as always, thank you so much for your expertise, and I will get out there one of these Tuesday nights within the next couple of weeks. I, for one, would like to see Douglas Haig prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law if indeed he was selling ammo illegally. But let's not forget, he wasn't the one shooting, and there's no way to know what somebody's going to do with ammo that you might sell them. So let's not make an example of this guy, blaming him for what happened with Stephen Paddock. So we'll see what happens. Should be interesting. Either way, I have a hunch this guy, Douglas Haig, is going to have a pretty miserable life for the next couple of years. My book, Don't Pat Me on the Head, coming out here in a couple of weeks. Don't forget to sign up for my free newsletter at HeidiHarris.com. Please subscribe to my podcast at Heidi Harris Show on iTunes, and you can also catch them on my Facebook page, Heidi Harris Show, Twitter, and of course my website, HeidiHarris.com. Until next time, remember, you were created for a purpose. I'm going to take you out with some Tony Scottwell.